Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Should have started with turkey sound effects. That's what I was listening for.
Or the little squeaky that Sabretooth was carrying around, that little turkey dog toy squeaky. Oh my gosh, he was in
thank you
this morning.
Thank you to all who came out across three different locations in what were less than ideal conditions this morning to donate as part of Turkeys for Tickets, our annual tradition with Tops and Odyssey. And it was steady from before 7 a.m. to past 9 a.m. at our location in West Seneca. And I know the rain and the snow and the wind and all of it was crap, like flat out garbage everywhere across Western New York today.
And we got the best weather. Everybody, like the one in North Tonawanda and Tonawanda and the downtown lot, like they got rained on bad. We were in West Seneca and we got the best weather, even though it was not great, out of the three locations. So we lucked out. Like we were in the right spot.
So all to benefit Buffalo City Mission and feed more Western New York. And we'll update you later when we, get the totals. But numbers are just that after things like this. It's the intent, the purpose, the community that always comes out. And it was awesome. I just, can't say enough. The volunteers from both organizations that were there to support this morning, whoever the kind souls were inside of Tops that donated some breakfast pizza, that was amazing. So yeah, it was really good.
It was good. I'll say this, before we left, one of the lady from the Buffalo City Mission, who's always there, so energetic right from the get-go. She's like, make sure everybody's got like everything they want. And she was talking about how, like these turkeys are going to help so many families have a little relief for all the stress and the food insecurities that some families, some people are dealing with in Buffalo. And she was talking about with the Feed More of Western New York people saying like they get those people first, right? Like you can't afford groceries. You don't have food. That's the number one priority, making sure you have food on the table. And the Feed More Western New York people try to help as many people as they can. But, they also have, their maximum that they can get to. And then what happens is that then families that, like maybe they can't afford their heating bill because they have to get food on the table. They can't afford their medicine. And it's like the number one thing that you have to think about is how can I get food on the table? Because once you have food on the table, the rest of the things can get taken care of. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have food on the table, you have to find a way to do it. And then it's the other things, the domino effect that happens. And the Buffalo City Mission is like, that's when we have to, and we see the most people is when they can't get the food, then they have other issues that we have to deal with. So these turkeys and the help of Feed More in Western New York and the help of Buffalo City Mission, but most importantly, the help of everybody that donated, that's what makes the difference.
Thank you, everyone who donated. It's double game night organizationally. The Amherst are home tonight against the Senators. We'll hear from head coach in Rochester, Michael Leone, later on in the show. The Sabres, of course, are in Utah. This begins 3-4 nights. Tomorrow, it's against the league-leading Avalanche. Saturday, it's in Detroit. Tonight, it's taking on a Utah squad that has lost 3 in a row and 5 of their last 6. Of course, Buffalo is in a similar spot, having dropped 3 in a row and has 1-2-4 to show as their record over the last 7 games. And they're looking for their first road win of the season. How do they get it?
Well, number one, it's going to come down to playing well defensively. Since the win against the Toronto Maple Leafs at home, and we know that there was a lot of points, like overtime points, overtime loss, you know, Toronto, Boston, Columbus, there was a lot happening. The problem, though, is that the Sabres are 31st in goals per game since that win against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they've missed a lot of players. They've missed Benson, and now Kulik, and now Zucker, and, you know, Dahlin, and they've... So I think it's going to be hard to produce offensively. Teams know you're hurting. You don't have your main personnel, and we're not just talking about, you know, missing 2-3 guys on the roster. You're talking about some of your top guys. So for me, offensively is going to be a challenge. You may score 3 if everything falls into place. Maybe it's just 2. So how do you only give up 1? How do you maybe only give up 2? That's the thing, because we also know that in that same stretch, the Sabres are giving up 3.71 goals against per game. Like, it's a big number. And you're only producing 2.25 per game. So there's a goal and a half there. But for me, it's the defensive side that's going to have to really be good against Utah, and then tomorrow against Colorado. But we'll start with Utah tonight. They lost 3 in a row, but it was the end of the road trip. And I don't think they were playing with the same jam that we had seen them. So they're coming back home.
I don't know. They lost the 2 coming into Buffalo. They eked out an overtime win, which Buffalo didn't feel good about how they gave up the goal. That was game 1 of their trip, Marty. Yeah. They lost the next 3. It wasn't the end of their... I mean, and it wasn't... I don't know. Like, I don't think they're very good. I've never thought they were very good. I didn't buy into everybody's hype. And now they're reverting back to exactly what they are. I think this is the winnable game here. Like, the
winnable game. And it's a trap game, the first game coming back from a road trip and all that. But I do feel you're going to get a really, really coming out of the gate strong Utah Mammoth tonight in that game. They're not going to, like, have a slow start. I really don't see. And if they do, well, you better jump on it if you're Buffalo, because I don't expect it to have a slow start. Now, there's funny you mentioned, you know, like the hype of Utah. You know, there's been a lot of teams that have had hype earlier in the season. Like, Montreal had such hype, and now it's a little bit more of a struggle for the Montreal Canadiens, which lost to LA last night.
They're still in first.
They're still in first, but they've had a lot of games where they had to come back from behind, win it in OT. They still only have 5 regulation wins. You know, like, I mean, the Sabres have the same amount of regulation wins as, or they got 4 or 5.
Habs didn't have many regulation wins in 93 when they won the cup either. So that's the least relevant for me. Selfishly, statistic.
They did have Patrick Waugh.
Just give me a W. I don't care how. So
yeah, I, you're right. But I, so there's teams, but now there's teams that somehow have made this jump where you're like, man, the hype is real. Like Boston last night, and these are teams that I didn't think were gonna be good this year. Like Boston's hype is something fierce. They've now won 7 in a row. You know, Anaheim finally lost 1 yesterday, but Anaheim's hype has been good. So, but I think when you look at Utah, I feel like Utah is a team that has a strong roster. They have a strong roster. Maybe it's not put together, and their systems and all of it. And I think that's why Coach Turingi was maybe on the hot seat starting the season. Like, hey, this could be a coach that may not last the season. Then he had a good start. But I think he probably is still in the conversation right now if Utah can't get going the positive side again.
Yeah, I think Utah's a perfect example for, I don't know, 20 other NHL teams, and Boston is one of them. You will continually see these teams have a good seven and a bad seven and a good seven and a bad seven. I think it's just the nature of the league. And you look at last night as the games were unfolding, I believe the top 28 teams in the league were at 500 or better because of the three. This is unbelievable amount of three-point games.
Well, Vancouver dropped out of that, so now you have the top 27 teams in the league are 500 or better because Vancouver ended up losing. Yeah. But the Blues are only a couple of games away after a disastrous start. Like, they're only a couple of games away from being 500. 100%. The Sabres are one game away from being 500.
It's not been great.
Mm-hmm. And the Sabres, when you look at, obviously, the Eastern Conference, you're like, oh, the Sabres are last in the Eastern Conference. Okay, they're the only team in the Eastern Conference not playing 500 or better. But a win tonight, and all of a sudden you're 500, and maybe you win two out of three. Maybe you win the next three on the road, and all of a sudden it's a different story.
Well, we mentioned goaltending yesterday, and we'll go around the National coming up before we get to Michael Leone in Rochester.
Do we have to pay Week C every time we say around the National?
No, because I never say it. So if I did, it'll be a one-off. It's not my thing. I just happened to came out unintentionally there. But I would say this with Buffalo. I loved how you phrased it yesterday, as far as. And we didn't see anything drastic in changes among the lines yesterday at practice. So I don't think we should anticipate it. But what you were hoping for is duos to try to carry a balance of four lines here, because you're playing on back-to-back nights and you're literally going to need everybody. Yes. But since you started today with the focal point of being, how do you just allow one or fewer, knowing that it could be real tight to get offense tonight, that comes down to goaltending. We don't have the official word yet. Yes. Many people speculated, perhaps incorrectly so, yesterday about Colton Ellis. But let's just play hypothetical. If Colton Ellis plays tonight, what do you expect?
Well, here's what I will expect out of Colton Ellis. I thought he was excellent against Detroit. But now, it's one game in almost a month and a half of NHL season. So I think that there needs to be a consensus effort to say we're going to be squeaky clean in front of Colton Ellis to just like allow him to get in the game. He's had practice time and he was supposed to play in Toronto 2.5 weeks ago. Then because he had a, you know, physically he wasn't 100%. Luukkonen got his first start of the year then, but there needs to be, and maybe that's the reason why the coaching staff is saying, you know what, this is a good team, a good game maybe for Colton Ellis. Why? Because we can use that to really trigger the team to play better defensively. Say, hey, that's why you have to be so good defensively. Help him out. Help him out in net. I like the way that he plays, but I've only seen him. Actually, I didn't even see it live. It was a TNT game that he was on. So I saw it from the screen in the basement, right? But I love the way he plays. I love the way he moves. I love that there was energy through his game. But how do you do that now when the last time you played was over 3.5 weeks ago?
Do you have an example of that that's still vivid from your career?
Oh, well, you deal with injuries, and I, you know, for me, my one time I missed sometimes because of injury was at the end of the season. But I'll tell you this, when I showed back up the next year, my first game, you know, it was after months though, but it felt weird because even though everybody hadn't played in months, I felt like for me it was longer than the rest of the team, right? Than everybody else. And I felt like a little nervous about it. I can tell you this, in 05-06, and I know we were talking a lot about that season, but when Ryan Miller broke his finger the morning of the Ottawa game, I had only played one game in the first month and change of the season. They were testing Ryan Miller. Let's see if he can be our guy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I played a game against the New York Islanders. I think I had won 6-4. And then there was another 2 weeks. I hadn't played a game. And then Millsy gets hurt. And I got the call to play that night. It wasn't a good night. We lost 10-4 to the Ottawa Senators.
Well,
I was
wasn't
all over
all
the
you.
Place. It wasn't all me. No, it was maybe because everybody took the night off. But yeah. I remember the game going really, really fast early in the game. Like, I gave up 4 goals in the first period, and it was going a lot faster than I could adjust to. Because number one, it was weird because the preparation wasn't the same. I found out at 4:30 in the afternoon I was playing that night. And number two, like, the days before that, leading up to it, I wasn't planning on playing. So, and I was mad that I'd only played one right. game in the season. I don't think Colton Ellis is mad that he's only played one game in the season. And I think that he probably was made aware of when his next start was going to be to prepare and to build up to that. Mm-hmm. But I still think it goes fast or in the first 5 minutes when you haven't played in an NHL game in a while.
Well, you were up against Mach 9 and Marty Havlat, who might have had a night.
Yeah, they both had Marty Havlat and Daniel Alfredsson had 4 goals each that night.
Yeah.
And Brian Campbell got danced by Havlat, I think, and Havlat scored. And Soupy was mad at me. Oh, I'm on every freaking highlight. Like, and he was so mad. I was like, well, just don't let him burn you. Like, it's not on me.
Well, in honor of the Senators' outrageously high offensive performance against you and Mika back on that 05-06 day. Let's get into anytime goal scorers because Buffalo's going to need them tonight.
Yes.
And I don't know who you're looking at, but I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so I am going to look. I want to say Alex Tuck tonight. My first thing was I wanted to go Tage Thompson, but I'm not going to go Tage Thompson. You know, I think he needs to definitely be the leader offensively, but at plus 130, if I was a better, I would say the squeeze isn't worth the juice right there. But at plus 210 for Alex Tuck, I would jump on that for sure.
I would go Kesselring because it's my nature to go with long.
You're trying
odds.
To squeeze a lot of juice out of that lemon. Yes,
but I am recently biased because of what I was reading on Sabres.com yesterday. And I think sometimes people, I don't know what people's viewing and reading habits are when it comes to team websites, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes you hear a little bit of, you know, I don't even know what the right word is. People think a certain thing about a team website and, you know, its content. And I would say this, just as an example, go read yesterday's report and Kesselring and the honesty and the struggles and the real situations that he's been in and the real numbers that he has posted so far, which are not to his liking.
Yeah.
It was real and it's well-documented. And obviously the coach talked about the struggles that Byram and Kesselring had in the one game, the most recent game against Carolina, and those are going to happen. But I applauded Kesselring for his honesty about the situation and how much he wants to finally be a contributor. And he was honest with us when we sat down with him at the arena a couple of weeks ago because the injury was still very, very, very much in his mind. He had not been freed from missing all that time. You mm-hmm. could tell. And I think now that he's gone through some even more challenging times in the lineup, this and a return to this location may be the freeing moment that finally allows him to think that he can have the impact that he was brought in for. So I'm hopeful for Kesselring for that very reason tonight.
And as the defense pairing were changed yesterday for practice, so you saw Samuelson, instead of going with Bryson, it was Samuelson and Power. Byram was with Connor Timmins, which was left Bryson with Kesselring. I think it could be seen a couple of ways. Mm-hmm. It could be seen as, oh, well, Kesselring is on a third pair, playing as a fifth defenseman with Jacob Bryson. But I'm gonna be, you know, going glass half full here. And I'm gonna say this may be seen as the coaching staff saying to Kesselring, we know you have so much more you can give. And now we're gonna put you in a situation where, look, Bryson was the seventh defenseman. He played his first game in a long time in the last game that the Sabres played. And we want you to take a lead. We want you to be the leader of that pair mm-hmm. and show us what you can do. And we're going to put that. It's a big game for you going back to Utah, playing against your former team. Like, this is the challenge that's in front of you, and we want to see it. So that's the way I'm looking at Kesselring and Bryson being together. It's giving Kesselring the vote of confidence. We know you can lead your defense pairing and go get it done.
Right. And I think every pairing has at least one of those players right now that can elevate and has to elevate.
You got Power, Byram, Kesselring. They're all three on different pairings. And I don't know if those are the three you're thinking about, but I'm pretty sure
the only three I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have four considerations, three actual and one other considerations in our poll today on social media at Sabres Live. Because the Sabres are in Utah, they're still looking for their first ever win against Utah, and we want to know what city will be the next to get an NHL team. Atlanta, Houston, Quebec City, other. Mm-hmm. And you can reply with your answer. Other, by the way, is in fourth right now, but it's got some measure of votes, so I'm intrigued by that and want to see the responses. So,
well, Mark says Phoenix. We could probably see Arizona Phoenix coming back, right? I mean,
the Phoenix Dones.
The Phoenix Dones, that's what it's going to be called, the Phoenix Dones. Here's the thing. The question, you always have to read the question correctly. This is not what city will you like to see next in the NHL, is what city will be the next to get an NHL team. If it was which city would you want to see, it would be 100% Quebec City. And if you answer any other question, you'd be banned from being able to come and say hello to the set. That's what it would be. But the question is, what city will be the next? And I believe Atlanta will be the next team. I think you could probably say Atlanta in the East and Houston in the West. And then you end up with 17 teams in each conference, 34 in the league. And the league will probably go to 36 at some point, where you're going to get 18 and 18, but I think you're going to go 1-1. Atlanta will be the first one, and Houston will come after.
Oh, and just to put a bow on the Sabres.com story, shout out to Justin Alpert, who wrote that, and just loved the research and everything as far as Kesselring and his return to Utah tonight. Okay, you heard my excitement yesterday on the show about last night's schedule.
Yes.
There was a lot to unpack from the nine games, but mm-hmm. guess what?
The only thing Sharks I
wanted,
won.
The only thing I wanted happened. And unreal in teal. The Sharks continued to defy the odds. Oh, my God. They were getting so grossly outplayed through 40 minutes, which is bound to happen with a team this young. And Askarov was brilliant. And then the dynamic nature of their offense, led by Celebrini with the tying assist. And then in overtime, and Marty, this is where it gets crazy. These two teams, Minnesota and San Jose, have played three straight overtimes, wild overtimes, going back to last year. And earlier this season, all the Sharks got caught out on the ice for 3 minutes and 45 seconds. But Celebrini hopped on. 10 seconds later, he won the game. The exact opposite happened this time. Celebrini was dead in his own zone. He couldn't bend his legs. And then all of a sudden, he gets the puck at the offensive blue line, makes an unreal pass.
Yes.
After his two-minute shift, he delivers the game-winning assist to Colin Graf, and the Sharks win again. They've won four in a row. They are 6-0-1 in the last seven. And the best goaltender in the NHL this month is Yaroslav Askarov at 4-0 with a .971 save percentage. I didn't think he was going to be capable to flip the switch. He has flipped the switch, and it's a beautiful sight.
That pass by Celebrini was fantastic. You talk about how exhausted he was. He didn't even take a stride entering the zone. He got enough momentum to be able to glide so that he could focus on making a nice play. That was pretty cool. There was some crazy, crazy games in the NHL last night. The end of the Dallas-Ottawa game, Duffer. Like, the goal that Dallas scored in overtime. Like, I know Linus Ullmark used to like to pretend he was Dominik Hasek in the Nets when he was here in Buffalo, and he would do saves like crazy, like two pass second dive. Well, he was diving left, diving right, flipping over. He had no idea what was going on, and the puck ends up coming back to a Dallas guy that just puts it in the net. I don't even know who scored because it was Roope Hintz. Okay, because I was like so like mesmerized with Linus Ullmark, like trying to follow the play, and it was like, it was street hockey. That's what it was. The end of the Dallas-Ottawa game was street hockey.
Avalanche won the big matchup of 1-2 in the NHL. They beat Anaheim. Leo Carlson, though, extended his point streak to 11 games, looked amazing. You would like a quick, very quick rant or not on David Pastrnak's 400th NHL goal and how Boston reacted.
Well, you know what? I don't have a rant so much. David Pastrnak scored a goal, his 400th in the NHL, and the whole team came on the ice to celebrate his 400th goal. I actually think that's fine. 400 is a big number. You know, there's only 112 players in the NHL that have scored 400, and he's only the 11th active player that have scored 400 goals. So they come out and whatever. They were pummeling Toronto by that point.
It was a 4-3 game until a late pasta power play goal.
Well, at that point, that was 42nd in the second, and it was 4-1 Boston. So you're like, yeah, we're coming on the ice to make sure Toronto knows we're celebrating. It was almost offside, by the way. But the fun part is that there's a fan that responded, that put something on social media about how it's embarrassing. You come out the game to celebrate the 400 goal or whatever. And Morgan Geeky responded to that fan basically saying, hey, Kevin, stick to your day job. So that was kind of funny. Duffer,
yeah,
would you have been that fan calling out the Boston Bruins coming out to celebrate that goal?
Well, luckily enough, we have a platform to speak about things like this. And I'm going to say that I completely agree with the fan. And I guarantee you, whatever number you just said, how many, you know, 100 and something, 400 goal scorers in the history of the game, I guarantee you that there's no other team that's ever came off the bench to celebrate 400. It's 400. Not a real milestone. Real NHL milestones are 500 goals and 1,000 points. And it was laughable. They should have been given a delay of game penalty. And it's whatever. I'm just glad they won.
Washington came out for 900 for OV. Like, are you supposed to not celebrate that? 900 is not a milestone.
It was not a record, and we had already celebrated him. And so why did we get excited? Just because we, as humans, are like fascinated by round numbers? Like, it didn't ever, 901, 902, 903, 907, 917.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a record every time. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, it was hilarious to see what happened in Boston. And by the way, fact of the day, Toronto Maple Leafs, 3.82 goals against, dead last in the NHL. We talked about Michael Kesselring. He's fired up for his game tonight with the Sabres in Utah. He's also mic'd up. We'll hear from him and Michael Leone when we come back.
Yeah, help me. Stay.
Whoa.
Yeah, bro. Whoa. They got it on camera too. Like if I got a shootout in a game and a goalie didn't know me, I think I'd score. We need a 16-round shootout.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.